He doesn't give in half measures. He gives in abundance. He gives in an overflowing manner. It's like a tsunami that just can't be stopped. Hello, and I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad you can join me here at Claremont Baptist Church today. I really do miss this church and the congregation, and this is the first time that I'm preaching since September 2017. And I just wish everybody could be here so I could see you all. But just to let you know, myself and my family are doing very well. I work with the WPBA in helping pastors. And at this time, it has been quite demanding, but I'm very grateful that I can be of assistance to fellow pastors and perhaps pass on some of my experience to them. But shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that there is good news to be found in your word in the midst of all the bad news that we keep hearing day after day at this time. So, Lord, we ask again you would speak to us, and we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me ask you as we start, how are you coping? No, I mean, really. Honestly, you see, for me, this pandemic has been going on just far too long. I want it to stop. Too many people I know have died or been critically ill. Thankfully, none in my immediate family have yet been affected like that. But I know many of you cannot say what I can say, and it has affected your family. Perhaps you're even grieving the loss of a loved one as I speak. I'm also very tired of listening to the news. If it's not about COVID, it's about corruption and Zondo versus Zuma, or it's about that ridiculous insurrection attempted in the United States, that so-called bastion of democracy. Or it's the riots in Russia or the coup in Myanmar, or it's about our struggling economy. And to compound my woes, it's almost a year since we could hold normal church services. And who knows when normal will return? Will it ever? Well, while feeling this the other day, I read 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, and let me read to you verses 4 through to verse 9. Paul the Apostle writes, and he says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God, thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Those words, I always thank my God for you, just stopped me in my tracks. Some of the people at the church in Corinth were of great concern to Paul. I'm sure you remember that Corinth was at this time a relatively new city. It had grown rapidly because of its situation as a port on the isthmus in Greece down there, with a port on the east side to help the easy access to the Middle East and to Asia, and a port on the west side with easy access to Italy and to Rome. And so it attracted a lot of business people, a lot of merchants, and it grew very wealthy. But also it attracted, therefore, the criminal element, the corrupt and the greedy, the immoral, and so on. And the church had grown quickly. But in time, some of the believers had reverted to the behavior patterns they followed before they found Christ as Savior. Temptations abounded in that city, and some of these new believers found it so hard to resist those temptations, and they were bringing the name of Christ into disrepute. Now, Paul, instead of starting off angrily berating them and telling them how he's disappointed with them, or being depressed because his hard work seems to be in vain, rather he starts his letter that deals with some of the most difficult issues that a pastor would ever want to deal with. He starts by cheerfully commending them as a source of continuing thankfulness. You see, Paul has this ability to turn his eyes from the depressing realities of the sinful lifestyle of those Corinthian Christians and rather look to the spiritual realities that were still at work in them. And this is what stopped me in my tracks. I realized that I was so busy looking at the physical realities of our present world and how we live in it and all the depressing stuff that I failed to see the wonderful ongoing work of God, the spiritual realities in the people around me. And that this should actually be dominating my thinking and my attitudes. And I just wonder if too many of us only focus our attention on the horrible physical realities around us, that we lose our sense of wonder, our sense of awe, our gratitude for the amazing work God is doing among us. The title of my sermon is, therefore, we can have and we should have gratitude in adversity. Now, let me ask you, if you made a list of the people and things you were grateful for now, who and what would be on that list? Well, while you are thinking about it and drawing up such a list, and I hope you do, remember the old song, count your many blessings and name them one by one. Well, while you're doing that, listen to what's on Paul's list here and why he gives thanks for them. And firstly, it is, as I mentioned, it is those people at Corinth. Verse 4, he says, I always thank my God for you. I always thank my God for you. It's not perfect people. It's those squabbling, immoral, greedy church members in Corinth. Now, I wonder what people you put on your grateful list. I'm sure there are those close friends and of course, family. But I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes. And then can you see God at work in others? They may not be perfect, but in all the complications and worries of the world we live in whom can you see God at work? Are you looking for signs of His grace in people? What about those frontline workers who put their lives at risk so you and I, when we're sick, can find help? Or those who are hard at work keeping the church going. I call them the frontline spiritual workers, the pastors and elders and leaders of churches and those workers who just tirelessly seem to be serving God, expending themselves. What about those who are generous in giving, those showing hospitality and so on and so on. We can go on, really. And we say, oh God, thank you for all those people in whom you are working, and help me to look and see them. Paul thanks God for the people. But also on Paul's list is the generosity of God. And this is what really makes him so grateful. When Paul looks at these people for whom he is grateful, he is actually bowled over by the generosity of God that he sees in them. Listen to how he writes again. I'm going to read that passage again, but giving it some emphasis this time. And he says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, those words that I emphasize just scream out the generosity of God. He doesn't give in half measures. He gives in abundance. He gives in an overflowing manner. It's like a tsunami that just can't be stopped. Look a bit further at this generosity and see how he gives his people all that they need in all kinds of circumstances. And there's four things I particularly want to highlight about this generosity. He is generous with his grace. Verse 4, I thank God because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Now, just do remember that the backdrop to grace must always be the idea of an undeserved gift. These Corinthian Christians may be sinning, bringing shame and dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ, but still, God is gracious to them. His grace overflows to them. His grace is wider and deeper and higher than any of the sinful things that they can do. He's still able to reach down to them. It's a grace that will make them blameless at the end when Christ comes again. They may be slipping here and falling there and sinning around over here, but at the end, when Christ comes, they stand blameless. That's the generous grace of our Lord. And we too will be kept by his grace. That's the point. When we see his grace in others, we can say, Lord, thank you for your grace given to them, and thank you for the grace given to me. Paul describes this grace so beautifully in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 8, where he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. Did you hear the emphasis? Some of you, I know, are frontline workers yourselves, and day after day, you are caring for others while they are sick, while they're dying. And I know that when you do this for a while, you do become tired, and you feel empty. And you sometimes get to that point where you don't want to hear of, let alone see, another patient, because you're just tired on the inside. Well, I want you to know that here is a spiritual reality that you can rely on. That God's grace will abound for you, so that in all things you will have all that you need, so that you will abound in the good work that you're doing. My prayer is that this church will be the channel for the grace of God for those who are suffering today. And may this church be the channel of grace for those who are the frontline workers, so that as they are in need, God's grace can come to them through you. But a second thing about this generosity is that he's generous with his riches. For in him, says verse 5, you have been enriched in every way. You know, God has not withheld one good thing from us, from you or from me. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul puts it this way, and he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He's given you everything, everything in Christ Jesus. And I was trying to think about just bringing some practical examples of these blessings, and the two that came to my mind at this time, the one is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, and it's the blessing of peace when anxious. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which just transcends and passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great blessing? That in these days, when some are really troubled, and you hear the vaccine is going to take some time to get here, and when it does get here, we're now hearing that maybe it's not going to be so effective on some of the things, and we've got to wait for the next batch. And well, it's coming. I know it's coming. But you know, there's a peace in my heart that I cannot explain because of the blessing of God in Christ Jesus. And then a second example comes from the Psalms, the blessing of nurture in times of adversity. Psalm 23 and verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. They're in the presence of mine enemies. They're lining up against me. That adversity is there all around me. But he says, come and sit. Here's a table. Here's a feast. And you know, we can have those times as we draw aside, as we spend time with the Lord. We perhaps read his word. We pray. We have a bit of fellowship with other believers. And we just encourage. We are feasted, and our souls go from those moments just so much more energized than they were before. And that's the grace of God. That's the generosity of God. Those times he invites us to have always. He will enrich you in just the way you need it, when you need it, every time. The second is God is generous with his riches. He's enriched us with all his blessings. But the third way in which Paul describes God as being generous is he's generous with his spiritual gifts. In verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift. Our Lord never lets us lack anything we need to do his work. Remember that this is exactly what a spiritual gift is. It's that ability through his Spirit to do what Christ, the head of the church, calls us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. God gives us the abilities we need to do the work he calls us to do. That's what a gift is. I know we have all sorts of fancy ideas about this and that and special moments when we think a gift. But the bottom line is this. God gives you everything you need to serve him. That's what a spiritual gift is. And Paul says, and he's so thankful to these Corinthians, that you lack no spiritual gift. You see, even at these strange times when normal church activity has been suspended and we feel, oh, you know, some even say the church is closed down. It's garbage. Of course it hasn't closed down. We're just exercising our spiritual gifts in different ways now. You know, you and I can still do what God calls us to do. We can still show love. We can still disciple another. We've got phones that we can just give another a call on. We can pray. We can give. We can take a meal to someone. We can organize a special fundraiser for something or another. We can worship. We can do all sorts of things because of the gifts God gives us by His Spirit in Christ Jesus. We may not be able to teach Sunday school or attend a worship practice or go to a Bible study. We just do things differently now. That's all. You are still as spiritually gifted as you were. Clermont Baptist can be effective in ministry and in proclamation and in reaching out in compassion and love and grace and mercy and being the light to a community who desperately needs to find the light of Christ. You can be just as effective now as you were before the pandemic. And in many cases, I'm seeing people are even more effective now because more and more we're relying on Christ and on His Spirit. You have been enriched with every spiritual gift that you need to do the task that He sets us to do. He doesn't leave us just to go and do it on our own. He doesn't say, oh no, this pandemic has made life very difficult for my church, so I think maybe we're not going to do so well anymore. He doesn't revise His budgets and His targets and so on. He just says, guys, come on. I will give you all you need so you can go out and serve Him as effectively as ever before, but just be creative in the way you do it. Christ is so generous with His spiritual gifts. So never doubt your ability to serve Him when you're looking to the Spirit of God to work in and through you. Never doubt it. And then a fourth thing that Paul comments on about being generous is God is generous with His strength. He says He will keep you strong to the end. He will keep you. See, it's not our strength. It's His strength that we rely on. We know we are weak. We know we sin. We know we fall into all kinds of issues and problems. We're not perfect yet. We know our faith is, you know, really small. But he says, that's the point. It's not about you, it's about me. And I will keep you strong because it's my strength in you. You just need the faith the size of a mustard seed if you want to move the mountains. He will keep you strong. He won't keep you strong to kind of halfway to the finishing line, but to the very end. You know, faith is often likened to a marathon run, not a sprint. Sprint is short. You just do it and it's over I was going to say a few seconds, but when you get to my age, it's probably a few minutes to take to run 100 meters. But a marathon is a different story. The thing about a marathon is it just goes on and on and on. If you've ever tried to run a marathon, you'll know what I'm talking about. You get to a point when you feel, I just cannot go on anymore. And athletes talk about hitting the wall. They get to the point where they say, no more, I can't do it. But the good runners, the ones who win the race, are the ones who keep on going then, and they so-called break through that wall. Well, the point is this, as we run the race of life by faith, we do get tired and we do feel weak, as if we can't carry on. When you hit that wall, the point is this, we hear, I will keep you strong. Just carry on doing what you can. I will keep you strong. To the very end. To the very end. And you know, we do go through those fluctuations. We go through those times when we fall into sin or when we just want no more to do. We're overloaded and burdened and so on. And we take a break and a rest. Well, maybe those are the times when He comes alongside us, renews us, and strengthens us so that we can carry on and carry on until the very end. You know, whatever you are feeling now about this pandemic and that fact that it's just going on and you wish it was over and you wish you could get back to normality and whatever, I want to say this to you. He will make you strong to the end. Turn to Him now and just walk and run in His strength. Well, as we come to a conclusion, let me say again, we can be thankful in times of adversity. You see, we can see God at work in others and in ourselves. But I want you to notice that all this generosity of God is given through and in Christ. I thank God for the grace given you in Christ Jesus. There is nowhere else to find God's grace. You won't find it in your religiousness. You won't find it in trying to be good. It's only found by simple faith in Christ. Just come to Him. Jesus gives that wonderful invitation. If you're weary and heavily burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. When He says, I will keep you strong to the end, doesn't mean you're never going to get tired. Doesn't mean to say you're never going to take a break. Doesn't mean you're never going, you will never, you will always feel that you're invincible. What it will mean is that when you're getting to that wall where you feel you can do no more, you can turn to Him and just rest in Him and trust Him. You see, come simply to Him, just confessing your need and trust Him. Why not spend some time in prayer, reflecting on your life, your weakness, and your strengths, the weakness you may be feeling at this time, and then reflect on the strengths that you still have. Reflect on those that have disappointed you and those who are still around you that can support you. Look at your failures and your successes and invite Christ by His Spirit to come into that totality of your life. Expose yourself to Him from the depths of your being. That's the gracious invite from Jesus Christ. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And you know, you too can have gratitude in adversity when you just remember and experience and feel once again that abundance and amazing grace of God just sustaining you. And when you look at others and you say, well, Lord, thank you, they're doing what I can't do. Thank you that you're using them. Lord, there's this one and that one. Wow, such an example because of the struggles they've had, and yet, Lord, they've been able to do this or that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just take my life and help me. May your Spirit come and renew me and revive me, that I may move forward in faith, conscious of the generosity of God. Remember the Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never, never let the righteous fall. May God bless you and may you have a life filled with gratitude. Amen.